One area where President Bush got very specific in his State of the Union speech last week was education.
Tonight I propose to train 70,000 high school teachers to lead advanced placement courses in math and science. Bring 30,000 math and science professionals to teach in classrooms, and give early help to students who struggle with math so they have a better chance at good, high-wage jobs.
We thought we'd try to find a math class that's doing the kind of advanced work the president is calling for. On Friday morning, we stopped by for third period at Montgomery Blair High School in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Consider this set now. Not open. Not closed.
Good morning. At this time, we would like to invite all the juniors to report to the auditorium.
We're in room 346. Mr. Wallstein, a math teacher of 39 years, is teaching functions of a complex variable.
An example of a set that is both open and closed at the same time is the whole complex plane. It actually can happen. It can be both of these at the same time.
The 11 seniors in Mr. Wallstein's class are among the nation's top math students. They're taking a course that's typically given to third-year college students.
I'm Zoe Chen, and for my senior research project, I worked at the Geophysical Laboratory at the Carnegie Institution of Washington, and I studied carbon ordering kinetics.
My name is Chateau Chowdhury, and my project was basically a fusion between computer programming and neuroscience, basically.
I'm John Silverholtz. And for my senior research project, I did a consideration of different approximate algorithms, which are called heuristics, for a problem in optimization research. It was in the generalized traveling salesman problem, and I created something called a genetic algorithm, which treats the solutions to the simulation like chromosomes, and it's basically a computer science metaphor for biology.
Now, admittedly, this is all a bit confusing for those of us who didn't get past college calculus, but the students say what's important is to be open to the possibilities.
My name is Mitchell Katz, and the real thing about mathematics, about actually making advances in mathematics, you're not being told what you're trying to prove here. You actually need to figure out what you're going to prove first, and logic isn't going to tell you that directly. You need to take some kind of a guess and then apply logic to determine if your guess is right or wrong. That's where the intuition comes in.
And teacher Eric Wallstein says intuition is the key, and where education today often fails.
One of the things that schools do, whether they realize it or not, is that they pull the intuition from the kid's brain. As they come through elementary, middle, and high school, the students become less and less intuitive. And that's exactly what we want to promote, their intuition.
That's the view of one teacher at Montgomery Blair High School in Silver Spring, Maryland. To assess the state of math and science education across the country and how the president's plan would change things, we turn to Maria Clave, dean of Princeton University School of Engineering and Applied Science. She's just been appointed president of Harvey Mudd College in Claremont, California. Clave worries about the president's emphasis on advanced placement classes.
One of the things we really need to focus on is that we need good teaching at all levels, not just, you know, in the final years of high school.
Well, when you think about the context of businesses saying they have a shortage of qualified people, and then there's a shortage of teachers as well, how do you solve that gap?
I think the U.S. is lacking it in a number of ways. I'd say the most important thing is that we simply don't pay our teachers enough to attract people with the kind of training in mathematics or computer science or science. Then we don't give them the kind of support and in-service training once they're actually in those positions to keep them being excellent math, computer science, or science teachers. And when we think about math and science, we need to not just think about math, biology, chemistry, and physics. We need to think about areas like computer science and engineering that really are the areas that are going to most affect our economic competitiveness, and we need to make sure that we don't leave them out of the equation when we're thinking about having excellent teaching in the schools.
Now, isn't computer science one of the areas where the U.S. hires a lot of workers and experts from overseas, in particular India?
It certainly is, and part of the reason is that India not only produces a much higher number of computer science graduates than we do, they also teach computer science throughout K-12. So, for example, virtually every student studying in school in India will learn to program perhaps before they're 15 years old.
So why not just adopt the type of curriculum that they have, say, in India, and use it in American schools?
It's not the curriculum that matters so much as the actual teachers. You know, over and over again, we keep on thinking that we will fix problems by changing the curriculum. And I think that if you look around the world, the places that have students performing well in math, science, or computer science are places that value their teachers. They give their teachers excellent training. They pay their teachers much better than we do relative to other professions in the United States. And, you know, there's been a fair amount of research looking at how China teaches mathematics. And one thing that came out of that was that the teachers themselves are extremely creative. I mean, it's not that they're teaching exactly the same way year after year. They're constantly experimenting with their students, looking for new approaches to teach abstract concepts. And I think one of the things somehow in the U.S. that we think is going to work, we think we're going to come up with the right textbook or the right set of exercises, the right curriculum, and then give it to everybody and it'll solve the problem. And of course it doesn't, because teaching is not a rote activity.
Now, the Wall Street Journal reported last year that, contrary to all the doomsayers, the nation actually has a surplus of engineers. Is this your sense, or do we just have the wrong kind of engineers?
I think part of it is the wrong kind of engineers. If you look at both the current numbers right now in terms of the number of positions available in computing-related careers, the number of people working in those positions is higher now than it was at the top of the boom in 2001. On the other hand, if we look at the enrollment patterns in university right now, there's been a huge drop in enrollment in computer science, electrical engineering, computer engineering, which are exactly the areas where the largest demand is.
Maria Clave, you're currently dean of the Princeton School of Engineering, and now you're about to be president of Harvey Mudd College starting this summer. And you're also a woman leader in a field that really is not traditionally thought of as a woman's field. I'm wondering, what's that like for you?
At the time that I went into mathematics, it was still very common that people would say, women can't do math, girls can't do math, etc. And so I came up through my career being driven by that, in the sense that if somebody said, girls can't do something, that for me was the biggest motivation to make sure I did it and did it well. The thing that I think has changed quite a bit is that people don't say that, except for perhaps presidents of famous universities occasionally. People don't say those things overtly anymore. But there is still, I think, a current that flows in North American society that they don't belong or they're less likely to succeed and so on. And I hope that by the time I retire, this is going to be something that we take for granted in the United States, that women, African Americans, Hispanics, and so on, all make great scientists and engineers, and so do men.
Maria Clave is dean of the School of Engineering and Applied Science at Princeton University. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Now, let's not always see the same hands. One, that's right. Whoever got one can stay after the show and clean the erasers. Hooray for new math. It won't do you a bit of good to review math. It's so simple, so very simple, that only a child can do it. Come back tomorrow night. We're gonna do fractions.